The Biblical Basis for Christian Holiness, Podcast 3, The Tragedy of Disobedience, Genesis 4 through 11. You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Leviticus 19:2 and 1 Peter 1:16. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. Mark 12:30. Let us pray. Almighty God, unto whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of thy Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love thee and worthily magnify thy holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Last week in podcast 2, Holiness Lost, we saw how the original holiness that God intended for human flourishing was lost through disobedience. Adam and Eve were no longer walking in loving fellowship with God and reflecting his character in their relationships with one another and the world God had given them. They were no longer living in obedient fellowship with God, harmonious loving fellowship with one another, and responsible enjoyment of the environment. This holiness has been lost through distrust of God's goodness. Despite the abundance of his blessing, they began to suspect that he did not have their best interest at heart, that he was using them. This suspicion led to displacement of God as the center of their lives. He was no longer going to be the one in charge, the one who determined what was good for them. They would put themselves in the place of authority. They would be in charge. They would decide what was good for themselves on the basis of sensuality, greed, and pride. Deliberate disobedience was the immediate result. Today's topic is the tragedy of disobedience. The narrative in Genesis 4 through 11 exposes the terrible consequences of this turning away from God. We will concentrate on the account of Cain and Abel in Genesis chapter 4 and of the Tower of Babel in Genesis chapter 11. I will never forget my visit to the Creation Museum near Cincinnati. We walked from the Hall of Creation into the Hall of Chaos. The pictures and images of human depravity and suffering were overwhelming. That picture of human misery begins with Cain and Abel in Genesis 4, 1-16. If you aren't familiar with this passage, you might want to stop and read it before listening further. That's Genesis 4, 1-16. The story of the first two brothers is a story of sibling rivalry for approval that led to fratricide. Sin has become a power that binds people, in this instance with the power of jealousy, of anger that another self has received something that one wanted for oneself. God warns Cain that sin is an animal crouching at the door. Sin is a force attempting to hold him, to master him, but he yields to it. How quickly displacing God as the center of life has led to murder. How callous Cain has become in his cover-up. Am I my brother's keeper? Is what he says to God when God questions him about the murder of his brother. Displacing God provided an illusion of liberty that was in reality bondage to a new power, the power of sin, the power of self-centeredness, the power of disobedience. Instead of human beings managing sin, it masters them. And that power with its violence first breaks out within the intimate confines of the family. Notice the consequences. God once again curses all three of the primary relationships: obedient fellowship with God, harmonious fellowship with others, and responsible enjoyment of the world. God's curses affect all three of those, just as he did after Adam and Eve's disobedience. Cain is driven from God's presence. Cain is made a fugitive from others, and the ground is again cursed on his behalf. He will have to labor by his own sweat to make a living from it. Things are getting worse and worse as disobedience settles into human life. Several generations later, and a few verses on in chapter 4, we come to Lamech, Cain's descendant. Actually, we first meet him in chapter 4, verse 19. Lamech's marrying two wives hints at sensuality. However, the striking thing is his careless violence and callous disregard. He boasts to his wives, "I have killed a man for wounding me, and a young man for striking me. Don't mess with me. You bump into me, I knock you down. You step on my toe, I kill you. You do anything to me, I pay you back 77 times. He even uses God's protection of Cain as an excuse to justify his own callous hardness and total disregard for other people. He, Lamech, is the center, and he will use all violence to stay that way. This kind of violence became characteristic of the human race. The following chapters of Genesis describe the inclination of the human heart is always evil and declare that the whole earth was filled with violence. See, for instance, Genesis chapter 6, verses 5, 11, and 12. What began in the family permeates society. Sin is not only a power that binds us, it will carry us to depths of degeneracy that we never imagined. Disobedience became so bad, God wiped the earth clean in the flood. From this depraved humanity come the arts of civilization. We are told that Lamech's children developed herding, music, and industry or metallurgy. Thus, we should not be surprised when we come to Genesis 11, 1-9, and discover that human beings are attempting to set up civilization, to establish a city on their own without God. There is hardly a more relevant passage in the Old Testament than this account of the Tower of Babel. Perhaps the individual cannot stand on his or her own, but together, as civilization, as the state, we can determine our own lives and leave God out. If not the individual, the collective, the state, can displace God. Notice, first of all, that in this passage there is no communication between human beings and God. God and Adam talked, even God and Cain talked, but God and the people of Babel hold no conversation. The people of Babel leave him out. They talk only to themselves, asserting what they are going to do. "Come," they say, "let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth." They're going to stick together. They're going to be in charge of themselves and establish their own destiny. In the Bible, as you'll remember from our first podcast, to name is to have authority over. So the people of Babel are going to make a name for themselves. They're going to assume the right of control over themselves that belongs only to God. In fact, they're going to take God's place. They're going to go right up to heaven with their tower. Since they do not acknowledge God, he does not speak to them. Instead, he speaks to himself, asserting his plan to frustrate their self-centered rebellion by going down, confusing their language, and scattering them. This text in Genesis acknowledges the creativity of sinful mankind upon which civilization is founded. God says, though perhaps with a touch of sarcasm, but still, he says, "Nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them." And yet the text of Genesis also ridicules human effort to play God. The people of Babel had only brick for stone, and as the King James puts it, slime for mortar. And they think they can build to the heavens with this kind of material? Ha! Furthermore, Genesis makes fun of their endeavor by telling us that God came down to see their tower. It was going to the heavens, but it was so small, God came down to take a look. Modern technology would almost have us believe that nothing is impossible for us. And yet, compared to God, it is mere slime and brick. And of course, as history demonstrates, civilization that has displaced God persecutes the people of God and institutionalizes violence. God's destruction of the tower is as much mercy as judgment. He frustrates their endeavor in order to restrain their rebellion against him and to challenge their sense of self-sufficiency. Friends, we tend to think that some small sin is innocuous. From Cain and Lamech, we learn that sin is a force that binds us, that puts its tentacles around us, that hardens us, and that takes us into depths of corruption we thought impossible. From chapters that follow the account of Cain and Abel, we learn that the human heart is ever inclined to evil and given to violence. We have seen that sin began by bringing destruction within the family and that it corrupts human civilization at its root. We have seen the collective nature of rebellion against God, the force of the city that in a vain claim to self-sufficiency attempts to be its own God and thus fosters the destructive effects of turning away from God. The loss of holiness, of living in fellowship with God and reflecting his character, has led to thoroughgoing, pervasive, violent dysfunction. Throughout these early chapters of Genesis, there have been hints that God will address this degenerate human situation and restore holiness. We haven't really talked about them, but we're going to mention them next week. The promise of God to deal with the human situation comes into focus with God's call of Abraham in Genesis 12. That is a promise of restoration of the holiness that has been lost. And that promise is the topic of our podcast for next week. God's promise of restored holiness. Thank you for listening. God bless you.